Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this time of our biblical study on this Sunday morning. We're so thankful for you and for your efforts and for the efforts of the radio management as they have tried to recuperate from the storm damage that was created that knocked us off the air for part of a morning last week. We hope that you are now recovered okay from that. And as well, we hope that you, the audience, are recovered from the problems that you may have faced because of that storm. Today, I'd like to consider with you a summation of the last 13 or 14 weeks of time in our study. We studied in regard to the place in which we find ourselves today in the plan of Almighty God. Do we find ourselves obeying the Lord, following His will? Remember what Jesus said in regard to obeying Him in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Notice that Jesus said that we'll be judged by the word that He speaks, that He's spoken, that He's already delivered there in that passage of John 12 and verse 48. Verse 49, He says, "For the words that I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father's words that I now deliver unto you." He delivered the Father's will and the Father's plan for you and for me. If we find ourselves doing that, what a wonderful blessing it is. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Obey him is necessary for those who attain eternal salvation. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. It tells us that Jesus went through a time of great misery as he faced the cross, there in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. And as you read there regarding Jesus at that time, you read his deliverance from that particular fear and concern that he had in his heart in regard to the death that he was now to endure. He was willing to do the Father's will, and he did the Father's will in such a magnificent way. We thank Jesus for what he's done for you and for me. But if we do not get around to obeying him, if we don't get around to following his will, follow the will of others round about us, follow the will of churches round about us and magistrates round about us, then we find ourselves not being a part of the great plan of God through Jesus Christ for salvation from our sins. When we miss the mark, we miss the mark in regard to the things we say. We miss the mark by the things that we do. We miss the mark by the ideas and attitudes that we have within our heart. The idea is that we are to be people who follow the Lord and follow His right way. And that program is a program that we administer to you today to find our people who want to follow the Lord's way and follow His will. This is Robert Rawson. I preach with the Crockett Church of Christ. And over the last somewhat 10 years to 12 years of time, depending on just where you count the time of our beginning up here, we find a wonderful blessing from God to preach to you today. And these brethren have bought the time that's made available to you Monday through Friday, as well as on Sundays, as well as on both channels of the radio station. We thank the Lord for you who listen and who study with us the Bible, the Word of God. I want you to consider with me, please, how that we find ourselves following the Lord's will and the Lord's way only when we obey His will. You remember the lesson studies in regard to Paul's writing to the brethren at Rome. In Romans chapter 6, reference is made to them as they live and as they do what the Lord says do, and how that they have decided that grace means for them to have the favor of God, and as a result of that favor of God, they find a way to consider what it really means. They think and they talk about it, and they decide that what happens is that the more sin that we do, the more grace is required to be administered to us that we be forgiven. And therefore, now then, as we get into sin, we need to plan more and more sin and do more and more sin, more and more missing the mark, more and more failing the Lord's will, in order to be forgiven by His grace. And that statement is met with the four words, God forbid, by Paul writing them in Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were buried with Him by baptism into His death were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father? Even so, we're raised to walk in newness of life. When we find ourselves raised to walk in newness of life, we find ourselves having put to death sin in our lives. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul writes, God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? When we find ourselves dying to sin, we find ourselves baptized into the body of Christ, the death of Christ, the blood applied to our hearts, and we find the Lord's forgiveness for you and for me. In Romans chapter 6, beginning verse 18, he says, But God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Literally, what we do, we become enslaved unto righteousness. We find ourselves doing what is right before God, and rightness is the thing that He wanted us to do. And He says, God be thanked that we were the servants of righteousness. You were the servants of sin, but you've served the cause of righteousness now. And as you serve the cause of righteousness now, you find yourself obeying Him, and you find that forgiveness that He has offered us. Read it there in Romans 6 at verse 18. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart, from inside your heart, you've obeyed. You become free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. The servant race is the idea of enslaved to righteousness. You're enslaved to such a degree that when you're in righteousness and you say those things that you ought not say, you do those deeds that you ought not to do, you have a guilty conscience that comes upon you. You have guilt that is there. And in 1 John chapter 1, we read that God is able to have a fellowship with the Father and the Son as we find our lives being in harmony with His will. And as a result of that, we find ourselves being forgiven of God, and we find ourselves in need of forgiveness at times as we live life from day to day. And what we do in that particular passage of Scripture is we follow its reasoning and its teaching for us. And what we say is this about it. He says, But God has forgiven us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We emphasized at that time that it's unrighteous thinking and unrighteous planning that we do, thinking. But he's saying there to those who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, But as we sin, we find ourselves sinning and getting away from that we get away from God. We won't be thinking about those plans that we have in our minds of getting away from God. And because of that, we'll fail to sin. We'll seize God more often than we do anything else. We'll find ourselves wanting to behave more often than anything else. We'll find ourselves rewarded by God for the forgiveness that we have. And we'll thank God at the judgment day. We'll thank Him that you have forgiven me of my sin. You've forgiven me of my doing these things, and you've forgiven me of my thinking about sin in the way that I did that caused me to get off base as you were there in our presence, and I failed to serve you from day to day. Think about that. Won't you think about that? There are men who find themselves very strong and very mighty, and they find themselves thinking about the Bible, and they think about, well, I don't want that Word of God to rule and guide my life. When we find ourselves doing our own will, we misbehave in the sight of God. I'm going to take care of myself, we say. And that is foolish thinking when we have the need of God's forgiveness and God's work with our lives to get us forgiveness for certain. We tried to talk in regard to the work of the Holy Spirit. So many people teach and think that the Holy Spirit comes into the life of those who are Christians and who wants to direct them so much that he directs them directly and righteously in his way. And thus he finds a way to get them doing what's right and forgive them. When we read in regard to this matter, we're reading and making application of what Jesus told to his disciples. He in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 talked about how that we need to obey the Lord as his disciples. And he talks about the 12 there. He talks about how they can follow the Lord's way and the Lord's will, and how that he will send unto them the Holy Spirit, because he will not be with them always. He will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. And that other comforter is Allos comforter. That other comforter is Allos of the same kind of comforter that I am. As a result of that, he has a way of sending him to those disciples and guiding them, as on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled the house wherein they were sitting, and directed them to teach the things that Jesus had taught them. He bring to their minds the remembrance of those things that Jesus taught them, and as a result, they preach to the people the need to be forgiven. And Peter says to them in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice what is said there. This Holy Spirit is a gift in that passage of Scripture. Comes to us as a gift, not because we want to receive it, not because we plan to call upon him to come and do certain things for us, but because we have obeyed what he says. We've obeyed by believing, repenting, and being baptized. We have that relationship that he comes to us and as a gift directs us toward the truth. You'll notice there in Romans, in reference to this matter, in chapter 8 and in verse 25 and following, you'll notice what he says. He says the Spirit will come and direct you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This Holy Spirit would come and direct them and guide them into telling the truth and telling the facts of God from day to day. We're only halfway through our radio broadcast this morning, this Sunday morning now, and we want to remind you of where we serve and what goes on here from Sunday to Sunday. We remind you of our service times at 9:30 and 10:30, and again Sunday evening at 6 p.m. I'm located at the Crockett Church of Christ, located some 6 or 7 miles from the interstate toward the west, toward Tunica side. As you come this way on the left, you'll see the large church building, the large cemetery out back of this church building. You'll see a big sign there by the side of the road that mentions our time of services, and you'll be visiting with us at the Crockett congregation. Who will you meet there? You'll meet a group of people that still love people. They love to teach the Word of God. They plan by way of the monies that they contribute to make a part of the service that they render. As a result of that, they have a way of making that a part of the weekly broadcast and weekly teaching of the Word of God. As we find that in the Word of the Lord, we obey Him, and we find ourselves being people who encourage others to do the same. Obey the Lord. Follow yourself in being repenting of your sins, of being baptized into Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life. For that preparation, we try during this time of the year, when it's so extra cool in the church building and all, to have a warm back set of classrooms in which you may dress quickly into baptismal garments and be baptized into Christ. And as you're raised to walk in newness of life, you find yourself in peace and quiet within the congregation here. As we invite you to come and be a part of the Crockett congregation, we invite you to be a part of a Crockett congregation that has been here since the late 1800s, as this congregation has been here. And as the people have come and gone through the years where I came up here and preached, gospel meetings and services for them from time to time, as they invited me to come from Batesville up this way. I had the opportunity to be up this way. And so as a result, when I was leaving the Batesville congregation, because it got so big and it got so involved with so many grandparents and grandparents and grandchildren and all that were involved, that I could not get around. I just could not get all to be done. And I called these brethren to ask them of places that I knew that the other relatives that they had were able to be. And as they found themselves in other cities and other states around here, that I could get some gospel meetings over there where they live, that I would not embarrass them, and I would teach the Bible, and as a result, find the opportunity to do that. And the brethren up here asked me on the telephone, well, why would you not move up here? Why not move from Batesville and come up here? We'd like to hear you every Sunday. Well, that was music to my ears. We'd like to hear you every Sunday. And now, some 10 years later, they still like to hear us every Sunday. And because of that, I'm still with the Crockett congregation, inviting people right and left all around this area to come and be with us. And even those who are of the church and activities of the church in various places that are not faithful to the Lord nowadays, come and be restored by repentance and prayer. As in Acts chapter 8 and at verse 22, Simon was told about his sin and wrongdoing. He was told to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Notice this man needed the forgiveness of the Lord. And as a result, he could repent and pray God. And he said, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you have spoken unto me will come upon me. Simon Peter said, thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thy heart be forgiven thee. He was a man who found himself wanting to buy the power of the apostleship. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive this Holy Ghost. But he was not in that picture. The apostles were in that picture. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit in this way, and they were able to lay hands upon people and impart to them the Holy Spirit, but not because of money that's passed to them. Simon Peter said, thy heart is not right with God. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that the thought and intent of thy heart may be forgiven thee. This man found himself going back into that which he began. He found himself being able to be forgiven by God, going back into that which he began. As a result, he could be forgiven, and he went on his way rejoicing that he could do that. Rejoicing that he could teach the word of God that he had heard. And that message of the Lord would be proclaimed by this man, Simon. Not because he had bought it, because it was given to him as for God, who loved him to forgive him and make him right in the sight of God once again. So to all of you that are listening to this program, that used to be in fellowship with the churches of Christ and used to be a part of the churches of Christ, and you have somehow or another made friendship with others and got away from the churches of Christ, to return. You can return with repentance and prayer, and you can return and restore to the Lord's cause and the Lord's will. You can do that. And as we reach this halfway point of this particular lesson today, as a reflection upon the teaching that's been done over the last 10 weeks of time or so, we call upon you to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart be forgiven you. As we talk about this, we're talking about people who may have heard this message for the first time. They really have on their radio programs, on their radio, on the car, driving down the road, hear this message one step at a time and one way at a time, and they got these verses in front of them. But they don't have something to write down, and they miss these particular verses, and they have to ask the wife or the husband, what verse was that he used that talked about how we're baptized and that we're put death to sin and we're raised to walk in newness of life? What was that verse? And Romans chapter 6 is where he was talking about that. But someone may not remember that. And as a result, they need extra help. And the brethren here have purchased information on a website for you and me. And as a website has all of these lessons presented on it, by title and by way of the words that we have there on the navigator column, you can see the titles of the sermons that have been done, the topics of the sermons that have been done, and as a result, you can find a way to be people who follow the cause of the Lord. You can listen to these lessons at any time. You can write down the verses by the side and look in your Bible and see if what they said is true. And you can decide, let's go and be a part of that congregation. Let's go and be a part of that study. Let's go and see that man who teaches this on the Bible in regard to the radio broadcast from Sunday to Sunday. And so, we invite you. We look forward to it. And that's the message of the Lord for you and for me. There are other messages that we have presented on this radio broadcast from Sunday to Sunday. We talked about how that we guide our children. Our children are not guided because we are mean to them and rough treating them, but because we care for them. We want them to understand that God has a plan for them, just as He had a plan for us. And as we understand that plan, we're to put it into practice. We're to obey that message of Jesus Christ. We're to be people who follow that way. God's Son came to this earth to offer to you and me a hope of salvation from sin. And as a result, we find ourselves doing the will of God, being the person of God, and having the right things of God in part of our daily walk of life. That's the way that we're to do. And that's the way our children are to do. And we find ourselves guiding them as we should. In Ephesians, in reference to this matter, in chapter 6, we read regarding how that we're to be people who guide our young people and guide them in a righteous way. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we emphasize the place of young people obeying the Lord in verse 12. He says, regarding this matter, the Lord wants you to be a person who obeys Him and follows His right way. And as you do that, you will speak the words that you ought to say. You will speak the conversation that you ought to have, the manner of life that you ought to lead. You will present the love, the agape love of God for others as you talk to them and present the message to them. You'll be a person who does not have anybody to despise your youth, but you will find a way of life following the way of the Lord, and guided in that way, you will find a wonderful blessing. We emphasized in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, we emphasize the fact that the Lord wants us to live in such a way that we are examples of the Lord. And as we are examples, that is a tupos of the Lord, a way of pattern, a way of life for people to follow. If they, in their words, in their mannerisms of life, as they love, as they have a faith in the Lord, as they believe in the Lord, they believe in Him in a way that the Lord talked about. In Hebrews chapter 11, description is given of what faith and how obedient that faith is. And it says there regarding Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Notice what Noah did. He found a way in which he wanted to obey the Lord in his heart of faith. And as a result, his faith was that which was righteous. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, that's what he says to do. He says to have that kind of example, that people fall into that pattern and that way of example, that they follow that way. And as they do that, the will of the Lord, they find themselves in faith, having the kind of faith that God taught them to have. So many have a faith that they're told to have, a belief system they're told to have. Then they're told to pray these words in a prayer for salvation from sin. Where do you find that in the New Testament of our Bible? Where is that said to you? Notice that the people who have this kind of faith are people who respond to that faith obediently. In Hebrews chapter 11, description is given of example after example of those that heard the word of the Lord and believed it and obeyed it because they were people who had a type of faith that the Lord wanted them to have. And he says there in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's the way that God taught us to live. And as we go back and we study these things today, we find he says there in 1 Timothy 4, be an example of the believer in the faith that you have, in the teaching of the Lord that you commit to your life. And as you find yourself doing this, you'll be a person who follows the way of the Lord. And finally, he says, in the way that you love. In the way that you love, in the way of purity that you have in your life. That purity that you have in your life is a pure way of thinking, a pure way of acting, a pure way of a kiss instead of a rough way of a kiss, a worldly way of a kiss. This kiss is a worldly way. No, this kiss is a way of agape. It is agape love. It is the love of God that we have, and we simply say, that's the way that we want to talk. That's the way we want to do. That's the way we want to love. And that's the love I have for you as I ask you to marry me. And as a result of that, we find a way in which we can live abundantly clear. And in that way, we are people who are an example to the believer. As Paul told Timothy, be an example to the believer. In the words you say, in the manner of life that you live from day to day, in your faith, in your way of life of going, you find a way of in purity. You'll find a way to be an example to others. Somewhere along the way, you'll find opportunity to be a servant and a helper. Maybe your neighbors want to go on a little trip of some kind, and they want to have someone to look after their children for a little time. If you're an example of the believer as a young person, you may be that person that they choose. You'll be there at their home. You'll be there in their play yard. You'll be there setting an example before those young people. And you better believe that as their mom and dad get back home, they'll ask what went on while we were gone. And they'll be told what went on. And if it went on that we lived a pure life, a good life, a great way of life, then it will be a wonderful thing for you. You'll be publicized right and left to all the other neighbors about staying with their children because of the way that you did with this household. On the time that we have, opportunity is to say to you and me that we're to be people who called the service of God to record about our lives. If we do not do that, no one will trust us in the future. They will not trust their children nor their way of life with us because we have brought sin into that way of life, missing the mark into that way of life, a way of wrongdoing into that way of life that we should not have done in front of their children. Think about the activities that you do. And don't forget the time of services for the Crockett congregation this morning at 9:30, 10:30, and again this evening at 6 p.m. We invite you to the Crockett Church of Christ, located at 7458 Highway 4 West of Senatobia. Thanks for your time. This is Robert Ross.